Welcome back, everybody. Today we're going deep, you know, deep into a story from the book of Joshua.
That's okay.
Chapter 22.
Right.
And it's a story about unity.
Okay.
Misunderstanding.
Uh-huh.
And you know those moments when we just jump to conclusions?
Yeah.
I think something we can all relate to. Right?
Absolutely. It's one of those stories that just feels so incredibly relevant, even thousands of years later.
Okay, so like, set the scene for us. What's the backdrop to this whole, like, dramatic episode?
So the Israelites, led by Joshua,
right,
have finally conquered the Promised Land.
Okay.
And there's, you know, they're sort of starting to settle into these new territories.
Right.
You might think that everyone would be a sigh of relief celebrating their hard-won victory.
Right. They've been through so much together at this point. You'd expect there to be like a sense of camaraderie and,
yeah,
you know, shared purpose.
Exactly. But that's where this story takes a fascinating turn.
Okay.
It highlights how even in these moments of triumph, past traumas, mm-hmm, and just like simmering anxieties,
oh,
can easily resurface.
Okay. I'm intrigued. What happens that just throws everything into disarray?
Well, remember the Transjordan tribes?
Yeah.
Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh,
mm-hmm,
they decided to settle on the east side of the Jordan River.
Right.
While the rest of the tribes settled on the west.
Right, because they were drawn to that land because it was ideal for, like, their livestock and all that. And if I remember correctly, Joshua even commended them for, like, their loyalty and,
yes,
commitment during the conquest. They really stepped up, you know, when it mattered.
Absolutely.
Oh,
but then, these Transjordan tribes do something,
okay,
that sends shockwaves through the entire nation.
What is it?
They build a massive altar.
Okay.
On the west side of the Jordan.
Wait,
right? Land in the heartland.
They built an altar on the other side of the river.
Yes.
That seems like a strange move, especially after they'd just been praised for, you know, their faithfulness.
You can imagine the reaction, right?
Yeah.
The other tribes are immediately suspicious.
Yeah.
Their minds go to the worst case scenario, rebellion.
Oh, no.
A return to idolatry. Maybe even another incident like what happened at Peor.
Right.
Where Israel faced devastating consequences,
mm-hmm,
for worshiping false gods.
So that event, the incident at Peor,
right,
it's like a historical trauma,
right,
that's still like haunting them.
Precisely. It casts this long shadow over their present actions.
Right.
They're terrified of repeating past mistakes and incurring God's wrath again.
So I'm starting to sense a theme here. Misunderstandings.
Yes.
Fear and the weight of history all colliding at once.
It's a potent mix. And the language the other tribes use,
mm-hmm,
to condemn the Transjordan tribes, it's intense.
Okay.
They accuse them of a breach of faith.
Wow.
Drawing parallels to the sin of Achan,
yeah,
which brought disaster,
right,
on the entire community.
Wow. So they're not just expressing concern. They're ready to throw down some serious accusations. It sounds as things are escalating pretty quickly.
They are. In fact, they gather their armies,
yeah,
and prepare to go to war. Against their own kin.
Whoa, hold on. They're ready to wage war over this altar. It seems like a complete overreaction. I mean, shouldn't they at least try to understand what's going on before resorting to, like, violence?
You're right to question their response.
Yeah.
It speaks volumes about their fear.
Okay.
And their desperation to maintain unity and purity.
Right.
Within their newly established nation.
Okay.
Remember, they've just emerged from a long and arduous campaign,
yeah,
to conquer the Promised Land.
Right.
The last thing they want,
yeah,
is to see their hard-won unity crumble from within.
I see what you mean. It's like they're so hyper-focused on preserving their future,
yeah,
that they're just blinded by their anxieties in the present.
Right.
But what's the real story behind this mysterious altar?
Okay.
Why would the Transjordan tribes do something so provocative?
Mm. Well, get ready for this.
Okay.
The Transjordan tribes didn't build the altar for worship at all.
What?
They built it as a monument.
Okay.
A symbol of unity.
A monument to unity. Now, that's a twist I wasn't expecting. But why build it on the other side of the river in territory that wasn't even theirs? Wouldn't a monument on their own land have made more sense?
That's what makes this story so brilliant.
Okay.
And so relevant to us today.
Okay.
The Transjordan tribes were worried that future generations,
okay,
separated by the Jordan River,
mm-hmm,
would forget their shared history.
Yeah.
Their common struggles, their kinship.
Right.
They wanted to create something tangible,
huh,
something visible.
Okay.
That would bridge that physical divide.
So they were thinking about the long game.
Mm-hmm.
About preserving that memory of their unity.
Yes.
For generations to come. But they really missed the mark in terms of how their actions would be perceived, didn't they?
They absolutely did. And yeah. It speaks to a fundamental human truth.
Yeah.
Even the best of intentions can be misunderstood.
Right.
Especially when we don't communicate clearly or consider the historical baggage and anxieties of those around us.
It makes you wonder how many conflicts, big or small, are fueled by similar misunderstandings.
Yeah.
By assumptions and a lack of clear communication.
That's the heart of this story.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cautionary tale about the dangers of jumping to conclusions.
Right.
The power of perspective
mm-hmm.
and the importance of seeking understanding before resorting to judgment or conflict.
Okay.
But the real question is, how do the other tribes react?
Yeah.
When they learn the true purpose of the altar?
Right.
Are they relieved or is the damage already done?
That's a great question. And I'm dying to know the answer. But before we get to that, let's take a moment to reflect on what we've learned so far. You know, it's really striking how this story from thousands of years ago feels so relevant to our lives today.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Think about a time when you may have misjudged someone's actions or intentions.
Yeah.
How did it feel? What could have been done differently to prevent that misunderstanding?
It's a powerful reminder to check our assumptions.
Yes.
To be more mindful of our own biases and anxiety, and to be willing to listen with an open heart before jumping to conclusions.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Okay.
Now, are you ready to hear how this dramatic episode unfolds?
Absolutely. I'm on the edge of my seat. What happens when the truth about the altar comes to light?
So when the Transjordan tribes are confronted, they launch into this like incredibly passionate defense.
Okay.
And the way they speak, it's just fascinating. They invoke God's name repeatedly.
Right.
Emphasizing their loyalty and their adherence to the covenant.
It's like they're desperate to prove their innocence, you know?
Yes.
To assure everyone that they haven't strayed from the faith.
Exactly. They're terrified of being ostracized, of their children being seen as outsiders. Mm-hmm. They lay out their logic. They're saying, look, the Lord himself designated the Jordan as a boundary between us.
Yeah.
We built this altar not for sacrifices or to worship other gods.
Okay.
But as a witness to our unity for
yeah.
us and for future generations.
So they appeal to their shared faith, their shared history, and their concern for the future. It's a pretty compelling argument. But did it convince the other tribes? I mean, were they receptive to this explanation or were they just too caught up in their fear and anger?
It's remarkable, really.
Mm.
The other tribes, after hearing this heartfelt explanation, they take a step back.
Okay.
And they accept it.
Wow.
They recognize that the Transjordan tribes weren't acting out of rebellion.
Okay.
But out of a deep desire to preserve the unity of Israel.
That's a huge relief. It's amazing how a little communication can diffuse what could have been a disastrous conflict.
Yeah.
It really underscores the power of dialogue and understanding.
It does. And you know what's interesting is how the text itself reflects this shift in understanding. Earlier in the chapter, the author consistently refers to only the Western tribes as the people of Israel.
Okay.
Almost highlighting the potential for division.
So it's like the narrative itself is mirroring this like potential for a split.
Exactly. But then after the Transjordan tribes explain themselves,
yeah.
the text starts to include them in that designation, the people of Israel, signifying their reaffirmed unity. It's a subtle but powerful literary detail that underscores the reconciliation.
I love that. It's not just the characters in the story who come to like a new understanding,
but right.
the narrative itself reflects that reconciliation. It really drives home the point that they are once again one people.
Right. And to further cement this reconciliation, Phinehas the priest, who was sent to confront the Transjordan tribes, he returns to the other tribes.
Okay.
And he says, today we know that the Lord is in our midst because you have not committed this breach of faith against the Lord.
You can almost feel the collective sigh of relief. It's like a weight has been lifted from everyone's shoulder.
Precisely. The Transjordan tribes, relieved and vindicated, return to their homes.
Okay.
And everyone rejoices, praising the Lord for averting what could have been a devastating internal conflict. They even give the place where the altar stood a symbolic name, Witness.
Ah, so it becomes a lasting reminder of both the misunderstanding and the ultimate reconciliation. A powerful testament to the importance of clear communication, empathy, and the dangers of allowing fear and suspicion to dictate our actions.
Absolutely. This incident in Joshua 22 offers so much for us to reflect on.
Yeah.
It highlights the fragility of unity, especially in the face of perceived threats or differences.
And it underscores how past traumas can shape our perceptions and lead to overreactions.
Yes.
Even when faced with well-intentioned actions.
You're spot on. It's almost like the Israelites were so traumatized by their past experiences,
right,
with idolatry and rebellion, that they saw danger lurking around every corner, even when it wasn't truly there.
It makes you wonder what other altars, metaphorically speaking, of course, might exist in our own time.
Right.
Things that on the surface appear divisive or even threatening, but which, with a deeper understanding, could actually be expressions of unity or attempts to bridge divides.
That's a brilliant question.
Yeah.
Think about those things that make you uncomfortable. Those things you might initially perceive as a threat.
Yeah.
It could be a different political viewpoint.
Yeah.
A cultural practice you don't understand. Or even just someone expressing themselves in a way that you find jarring.
It's a challenge to look beyond our initial reactions,
right,
our ingrained biases, and to ask ourselves, what if I'm misinterpreting this?
Yeah.
What if there's more to this story than meets the eye?
Exactly. Because beneath the surface, we might discover a shared desire for connection.
Right.
A yearning for understanding, or even a clumsy attempt to express something meaningful. This story from Joshua urges us to approach the world with curiosity and empathy,
okay,
rather than condemnation and judgment.
I love that. To look for the altar of unity in the most unexpected places, because maybe, just maybe, that's where we'll find the key to bridging divides, fostering understanding, and building a more compassionate world.
It's a powerful message, isn't it? And one that feels incredibly timely.
Yeah.
Given the state of our world today, we're constantly bombarded with information, often presented in a way that reinforces our existing biases and fears.
Right.
It takes conscious effort to step outside our comfort zones, to engage with different perspectives, and to seek common ground.
You're absolutely right. This story serves as a powerful reminder that unity is not about uniformity. It's about embracing our differences, recognizing our shared humanity, and committing to open and honest dialogue, even and perhaps especially when it's difficult.
Beautifully put. And on that note, I think it's time we bring this deep dive to a close.
Yeah, I feel like we've uncovered so much here today.
It really is amazing.
It's amazing how a story from ancient times can still resonate so deeply and offer such valuable insights, you know.
It is.
Into the human condition.
It's a testament to the enduring power of storytelling, isn't it?
Yeah.
These narratives from the past, they act as mirrors, reflecting our own struggle,
right,
anxieties, aspirations.
And in this case, the story of the altar in Joshua 22, it just reminds us that unity, it's not something that just happens.
Right.
It requires constant nurturing, open communication.
Yes.
And a willingness to look beyond surface level differences.
Precisely. And it requires us to be mindful of the stories we tell ourselves, the assumptions we make about others, and the ways in which our past experiences shape our perceptions.
Yeah, it's so easy to get caught up in our own perspectives, our own fears, and to project those onto others.
Exactly.
But this story, it encourages us to pause, to take a breath, to ask ourselves, what if I'm wrong?
Yeah.
What if there's another side to the story that I'm not seeing?
It's a call for empathy. For understanding.
Right.
And for a willingness to bridge the divides that separate us.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that true unity doesn't require uniformity of thought or belief.
Right.
But rather a commitment to dialogue, respect, and a shared recognition of our common humanity.
Beautifully said. And on that note, I think it's time to wrap up our deep dive into Joshua 22.
Indeed. It's been a fascinating exploration.
It really has.
And I hope our listeners will walk away with a renewed appreciation for the power of communication, the importance of seeking understanding, and the potential for unity, even in the face of apparent differences.
I couldn't agree more. So as you go about your day, remember the story of the altar. Remember to pause, to listen, and to look for those altars of unity in the most unexpected places.
Yes.
You never know what hidden connections you might discover. Thanks for joining us on this journey of discovery. And until next time, keep exploring, keep questioning, and keep seeking those connections that bind us together.